Support comes from Mosby Building Arts. This year, put your trust in Mosby Building Arts for fresh designs and the elevated remodeling experience you deserve. Inspiration at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, January 12th. I'm Abby Larico. More than 1 year after Missouri voters opted to put the right to an abortion in the state's constitution, the state's remaining restrictions on the procedure go on trial this week.
In a nutshell, the state's lawyers argue those restrictions that we talked about are necessary because abortion providers are medical providers, and these rules are required to keep patients safe.
St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton breaks down what to expect from the proceedings coming up after this news on The Gateway. A federal judge has granted a temporary restraining order against the Trump administration freeze of child care and family services funding for Illinois and four other Democrat-led states. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services had announced last week that it was freezing the distribution of funds for the blue states because of concerns about fraud, although it didn't provide evidence or cite specific claims. The department called for those states to submit additional documentation within 2 weeks in order to receive the money. Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul says Illinois would lack about $1 billion if the judge were to lift the temporary restraining order or if the Trump administration chooses not to comply.
Parents of nearly 150,000 Illinois children who receive child care support would be forced to stay at home, causing employers to lose valued employees and businesses to also be impacted.
Raoul also claims a two-week deadline to submit documents is unreasonable and that many documents involve sensitive personal information. The attorneys general assert the freezing of funds is unlawful and politically motivated, citing political statements from President Trump and the lack of specific accusations. And across the river in Red, Missouri, the state's Department of Elementary and Secondary Education has submitted documentation requested from the Trump administration following a freeze of federal funding for child care providers in Missouri, too. DESE says it was notified late last week that the federal government needed more information to release the money. The funds help support child care providers across the state, many of which are operating on razor-thin margins. These freezes come after a Trump supporter posted a video online about alleged fraud in daycare facilities in Minnesota. Missouri Education Commissioner Carla Esslinger said in a statement that the department understands the importance of checking on how money is spent, quote, given recent events in other states. The department says it submitted requested information Friday. It's unclear when the money will be released to providers. Missouri's Secretary of State admitted in court Friday that he wrote flawed ballot language for the possible referendum on the state's redrawn congressional map that's designed to get Congressman Emanuel Cleaver's seat out of Democratic hands. Brian Ellison has more.
Republican Denny Hoskins supports last year's redistricting and opposes the referendum that would undo it. He's refused to count some signatures to get the map on the ballot and disputes advocates' claim that the map should be on hold. The Missouri Independent reports that Hoskins' attorney said in court that the ballot summary, quote, though defensible, does come close enough to the line of being inherently argumentative and likely to create prejudice, unquote. Hoskins' office says it will revise the language in negotiations with sponsors of the ballot measure. The trial over the ballot language has been delayed until February 9th in the event the parties cannot agree on new language. I'm Brian Ellison.
Missouri's Department of Social Services is developing a plan that could pay child abuse investigators more money. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports that the low pay is linked to the Missouri Children's Division's chronic problems.
The starting pay for child abuse investigators in Missouri is much lower than other states like Illinois or private sector opportunities. That low pay led to staffing problems throughout Children's Division. Department of Social Services Director Jessica Bax says Children's Division is trying to offer entry-level investigators a chance to work in more specialized ways and eventually make more money.
And those are jobs that would become a career ladder and really incentivize someone to stay.
Child welfare advocates have connected staffing turnover from low pay to massive child abuse case backlogs and programs not being implemented evenly across the state. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
A local social services agency has hit a key milestone in its campaign to fund a new headquarters in Creve Coeur. The National Council of Jewish Women St. Louis recently launched the public phase of a $5.4 million campaign. That public launch usually happens when about 80% of the funds have been raised. NCJW Executive Director Ellen Alper says the price tag was originally lower, but contractors found drainage issues and asbestos during construction, and the organization needed to spend about $250,000 on security.
We have to keep the doors locked. We have to use key fobs to get in and out. We have video face recognition at the doors. We have to put up bulletproof glass.
NCJW has been in the new building since October. It doubles the space available for the agency's work. The U.S. Figure Skating Championships brought thousands of fans to St. Louis. Boosters of the sport say it was a win for the city that could pay dividends for the future. St. Louis Public Radio's Alex Hoyer reports from the Enterprise Center.
There were the usual sounds.
Cold beer, cold water here. Ice cold, ice cold.
And there was the roar of crowning national champions. But the championships meant more for St. Louis than awarding medals. Pauline Lee, a St. Louis University professor and 1988 figure skating Olympian for Taiwan, says the event being in St. Louis could grow the sport locally.
I think because we had the Nationals 20 years ago and now we have it again, I think we should have it in 10 more years. And I think St. Louis, we can look back on today and think that this is the beginning of St. Louis being a great figure skating city.
The St. Louis Sports Commission says the event raised the city's profile and hopes to attract more big competitions. At Enterprise Center, I'm Alex Hoyer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Yeah, I can't be the only one who's dusting off my ice skates following this weekend's glorious events in St. Louis. Congrats, by the way, to Brady Tennell, who we heard from last week on this podcast on a lovely performance that landed her a first alternate position on the U.S. Olympic team headed to Italy next month. More than a year after Planned Parenthood sued to overturn Missouri's abortion ban, the issue heads to trial this week. St. Louis Public Radio's Jonathan Aul spoke with health reporter Sarah Fenton about what to expect.
Sarah, it's been a while since we last checked in on Amendment 3. Can you bring us up to speed?
So to understand what's going on now, we have to look back to November 2024, when voters voted for Amendment 3, which put the right to abortion in the state's constitution. But abortions didn't start immediately. Instead, Planned Parenthood, which is pretty much the only game in town, sued the state not only to just overturn the ban, but also a lot of laws and provisions that govern abortion facilities. And their rep said that those are basically the same thing as a ban because they place so many restrictions on getting the procedure and thus are also unconstitutional. And then a Kansas City judge named Jerry Jung agreed with most of Planned Parenthood's arguments and put a temporary hold on most of those restrictions while this saga plays out in the courts. But she didn't place a hold on all restrictions. In the meantime, providers have said those rules are still too onerous and they keep them from providing most abortions, particularly medication abortions. And that means in the midst of all of this sturm and drang, fewer than 200 abortions took place last year in the state of Missouri. That's provisional data. It'll probably go up as more reports come in, but it still shows that the procedure is relatively rare in Missouri despite the passage of Amendment 3.
Can you give us some examples of what these restrictions are?
Missouri for years put laws, restrictions, and rules on the books to govern abortion facilities. And you might have heard some of these. Those requirements include providers issue pelvic exams before abortions, have admitting privileges at hospitals within a certain distance. Another rule that's kept providers from offering some types of abortions is the complication plan requirement. Missouri law says health centers who provide medication abortions must have a state-approved plan in place. Planned Parenthood argues that makes access really tenuous because the state health department can change the rules anytime it wants.
So after more than a year, the trial date is finally here. What can we expect?
So it's a scheduled 2-week trial in Kansas City, and it's a bench trial, which means Judge Jung will decide the verdict, not a jury. And in a nutshell, the state's lawyers argue those restrictions that we talked about and other ones that we didn't talk about are necessary because abortion providers are medical providers, and these rules are required to keep patients safe. According to pretrial briefs, the state says Planned Parenthood also has a financial incentive to push for getting rid of these regulations. And the court should wait for affected patients to bring challenges to these laws instead of Planned Parenthood and other providers.
So that's the state's position. What are we expecting Planned Parenthood to say?
The organization's attorneys have argued that these laws are not only unconstitutional, they're also discriminatory. Lawyers say these requirements are difficult, if not impossible, for most of the health centers in the state to follow, and that they don't align with medical standards of care. I'm thinking in particularly of that pelvic exam. Another argument they'll likely to raise is that providers who perform other similar procedures don't have to comply with these kinds of laws.
So what can we expect in the trial?
So I think it's fair to say after around a decade of reporting on abortion in Missouri, the fight over access has never really been settled. And even if the judge rules in Planned Parenthood's favor, it's possible the state could appeal that decision. And that's not even considering another ballot initiative scheduled to be put to voters later this year that could repeal the constitutional right to an abortion in Missouri, also called Amendment 3. So watch this space.
That was health reporter Sarah Fentem speaking with St. Louis Public Radio editor Jonathan Aull. Our Rob Edwards edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.